Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hello there and welcome to another episode of Four Tims in a Podcast. Just before we started, I want to let you know about this week's footballprizes.co.uk Celtic prize. It is a one-of-a-kind prize. It is a signed away kit from your treble winners. It's a custom frame with the likes of Jota, Carter Vickers, Kyogo and Cal McGregor on it. And as I say, it's a signed away kit as well, so it's a great prize to win. There's also an 11 instant win prizes, including your treble memorabilia that the club's recently released. It's your treble t-shirt, your treble bucket hat and your treble scarf. But you can enter this by going to footballprizes.co.uk and buying your ticket. Tickets cost £3.95, but we can get you a discount on that. Just use the code TIMS10, it'll get you 10% off. This competition ends Monday 12th of June at 7:30 p.m. and good luck to you if you enter, and thank you to Football Prizes and everybody that's used their code this season. It helps support the podcast and keep us ticking along, so thanks very much, and we'll get on with the show. Hello there and welcome to another episode of Four Tims in a Podcast. You join us on the evening of Monday the 5th of June. It's 7:45 at night. It's been quite the weekend and also quite the Monday after Celtic won the Scottish Cup to complete the treble. They won a 3-1 against Inverness. Goals from Kyogo, Leah Labada and Jota securing the win late on. I'm joined tonight by Danny and Andy. I'm sure anybody that's got Tony on social media will have seen he was on it all weekend, so I think he's probably recovering somewhere, but we'll plod along regardless. But we'll speak about the cup final first before we move on to the manager. I know that everybody's desperate to speak about it, as it's been everything I've seen on Twitter and Facebook the day. But Danny, it was no quite the hammering that a lot of people expected, but Celtic got the job done after a sort of tight 25-30 minutes. They got a goal through that man Kyogo again, and Inverness scored late on to make it 2-1, but I don't think Celtic ever really looked in danger. It was another great day at Hampden for the Celtic team, and we completed our fifth treble in 7 years and completed the... We'll set the new record for the amount of trebles won by making it the 8th treble in our history, but a fantastic day for Celtic.
Yeah, another historic day for everybody at the club. You're right, we all thought it was going to be a hammering, didn't we? We all lined up, pretty sure we all had money on a big scoreline, a cricket score, but I don't want to say it played out a bit of a damp squib, but it was kind of the way I thought the game was going to go, except I did think we'd score more goals. We were completely dominant. A wee bit wasteful, my passing, throughout the whole game, actually. But on another day, we would have scored 6 or 7, I think. we knocked it about. Where there was no real challenge for Inverness, it was always a case of when we score a couple, we'll get myself in front and no look back. Only one nothing up at half time. Kyogo actually, great finish, but he missed an easier chance to make it 2-0. After a great pass by Awata, and it was great movement by Kyogo as well. It really did deserve a goal. Second half is all about getting the second goal and just killing Inverness's spirit. Managed to get it, then they came up the park once and score. It was a good goal. And then, as much as you say you don't worry, you do thank God if they get another chance, we need to play another half an hour. But got the third goal, then should have made it 4-1. Haksabanovic missed a good chance. And then won the cup, and it's a treble. You know, it's kind of one of the ones where what get lost in it was really everything that was going about the week and about how the season's finished and everything else. But we get lost in it as just a remarkable achievement. It was going to be if they could win. So you're lining up talking, you know, 6, 7, 8, 0, blah, blah. But just getting the win was obviously the most important thing. But just doing that and what that would mean to Celtic. It was great. I mean, it was a great day out. I had a great night on Saturday night as well. Out with some mixed company, as folk like to say. Getting all the patter off them, which was fun. But just another great day for Celtic. We've been really blessed as a support over the last 7 years. You know, 23 year, we've been blessed with some amazing memories, but certainly in the last 7 years with 5 trebles, it makes it seem normal. It really is, Nick, because, I mean, how many years did we go without winning a treble and something would go wrong? You just think, over the course of the season, something's got to go wrong. You need everything to go right to win a treble. And all of a sudden, 7 years later, we've won 5 of them. So, and a new world record, which is something to be proud of as well.
Aye, definitely, as you say, it's sort of became commonplace, it feels, these days, especially, as I say, 5 in the last 7 years. But, Andy, it was just another incredible day for Celtic and a fully deserved treble. The team's been absolutely magnificent this season. And what did you make of it? I know you had a bit of a mad one all weekend as well. Just, you've got, I don't blame you for it, you've got to enjoy these occasions. And because as much as I seemed quite to be happening regularly these days, you never know when your next one will come.
Aye, like you say, you've got to enjoy them. Because like for long enough, they didn't really come, and it's just the way we've been, particularly in recent years, is nothing short of incredible. But to go and do it again, I spoke about it in the preview before. The game we talked about it when Ange sort of first came in, we were talking about rebuilding and gaining my year and all the rest of it, and I don't know if I can repeat myself, but the point I was making was that he came in, done a double, and to go and basically improve on that again. The only thing he could have done at that point was win a treble, and we've went and done it, and really it's nothing less than we've deserved. The team's been absolutely excellent, and I just can't put enough sort of praise on them. The relentlessness, we've lost players. Juranovic has went out sort of midway through a season, and guys like Johnston have come in and arguably improved us, and just across the board, I think it really has been incredible. And you've got to enjoy these moments, because as you say, it really is out the norm. It's a world record. When you think about it, people often talk about, aye, but you should be doing that and they should be winning that, but that's not how football works. The sort of better 11 players don't always win the game, and today, week in, week out, today in the big games, today when it matters, today when you lose somebody in the pitch, or you get out of 10 men, or you give away a dodgy goal, or there's a lack of concentration, to go and sort of put all that to the side and go and win another treble really is incredible. Long may days last continue, but you can't sort of put enough emphasis on how important it is that people sort of recognise it. that isn't the norm. That's just not how football works. All the big sort of success, all the big teams in all the leagues around the world are the exact same. So it was brilliant, and the celebrations were good as well. But the game itself was always that. I think the cup finals, cup football can be like that. We've seen it enough times. They sort of put up a reasonable sort of half hour. I think we scored just before half time, so it's maybe 40 minutes or so. And they sort of had the game plan. They tried to stick to it, tried to frustrate. But as has been the case fucking countless times this season, Kyogo's there, puts the ball in the net. And I think that settled a lot of nerves. It's only natural that they're going to be there and sort of found our groove a wee bit more. And we didn't need to press the issue as much because we'd got that goal. But they weren't going to change how they played at that point. Now, obviously, a bad against the second. As Danny mentioned, you've always got that worry. Listen, their goal came out of nothing, really. You won the, like, at 2-0, it was pretty accepted that was the game done, but they get their goal. Fair play to them, they kept going. It would have been easy for them just to sort of blow up and end up losing 5-6-7, but they didn't. You've got that worry when the ball goes in the net, but as always, the case with this team and these players, just relentless again, kept going. Jota gets an hard goal. I think one of you mentioned before we started recording, it's just dead fitting that the three players that have scored the three goals is Kyogo, Abada and Jota. And, sort of three of the first signings of the manager when he came in. And as you say, it probably is fitting that it was them that got them. But it was just brilliant. The sunshine and everybody just obviously enjoying themselves. You've seen how many people were there. I think it's one of the days you look back to and say, when that record was broken, it was us that done it, and we done it in obviously a great fashion, playing great football. But it was the 90 minutes is sort of lost on, and I think it's more the what happened after that comes to the forefront, and just the accomplishment and achievement that it was. Same way everyone's like, but Park Heed after the game and things like that, and celebrating it, enjoying it, and the way it should be done. So, it was brilliant done.
Definitely. As you say, I think a lot has happened since it, but we did get to enjoy it. It was obviously great scenes of the supporters marching from Glasgow Green all the way to Hampden, and then, as you mentioned, great celebrations at the stadium after it as well. It was just a really great day. I think there was a sort of sense of inevitability about what could come next. And we'll just come on and speak about that. We'll obviously speak about the Scottish Cup and the season in general when we do an end of season review. But we'll wait till we're back as a four before we do that. But I think when the post-match celebrations, I think everybody was loving it. But I think you could sort of tell Ange had that sort of a bit of somberness and seemed to just be taking it on. And I think, I know I'm not a body language expert, but it seemed pretty apparent that the rumours that had been going about that we spoke about on Friday might be true. And I know he sort of pushed the questions away when he was asked in the post-match, but not long after, early Sunday, and as the day developed into the day, it became apparent that the rumours were true, and Ange is just about 99% confirmed to be the next Tottenham manager. I think we'd sort of expected an announcement by the time we recorded, but it's not done yet. Every sort of reputable news source is saying that, first of all, earlier it broke that Celtic had granted him permission, and then there's an agreement been reached as well between Tottenham and Ange, so it does look sort of academic now. I don't think there's any sort of going to be a dramatic turnaround, so we may as well treat it as fact, because I'm sure it may well be by the time this episode comes out. Danny, it's been, I don't know about you, but it feels like it's a very, very quick 2 years that Ange has had at Celtic, and a lot of us hope they'd have another year at least, if not more. But it does look like this is the end of Ange Postecoglou's reign as Celtic manager, 5 trophies out of 6, and one of the probably best managers I've seen in my 30 odd years of supporting Celtic. I think probably only Martin O'Neill is probably the only one I'd probably put above him at this point, and especially in terms of the connection that he's got with the support as well. Just a really successful time for the club, the perfect man that came in at the time that he did. How are you feeling about Ange moving on to pastures new?
Glad you said that, about him being the perfect man that came in. Ange Postecoglou was the perfect Celtic manager, but doesn't mean he was the best Celtic manager. Doesn't mean he was the best man we could have got in 2021. Doesn't mean he's the best manager for Celtic now. We can go out and get a better one. But when he came in, we were in a mess. I think we've not finished off 10 in a row. They've won. They had the chance to get into the Champions League. I know they didn't, but it was looking like they might kick on. Celtic were in a mess. We didn't have a team. And he came in, and next thing you know, Tony Ralston knows how to kick a ball and run in a straight line. McGregor looked revitalised. They looked really poor in that COVID season. He looked like he was back to his best early on under Ange. Signings were making a real positive impact. Kyogo started the house on fire. Abada looked like a real good find. And although we did stumble with a few results, the fitba was really good. And then once he got his players in, like Carter Vickers, Jota, and the others, kind of Jack and Marcus, I know it took him a while to settle in, but they never really looked back, and he galvanised the whole club at that point. I mean, when he came in, like, I see a lot of people talking about how Ange has duped Celtic and the rest of it. When he came in, there was a lot of fans, I mean, us four included, didn't give him a time of day. Granted, it was more us venting with frustration at the board than everything that had happened, you know, 2 years before when they appointed a guy in the showers. But we were all angry, and he galvanised us, and 2 years later we've won 5 out of 6 trophies, including a treble at the weekend. We're right into the Champions League. The playing squad that he inherited compared to the playing squad that he left is just night and day. It's such a better job now than it was 2 years ago, so it's out there for somebody better to come in and take us to the next level. And I just, my thing with Ange is, I don't think he played the support. I don't think he duped us. I don't think he lied to us. I think the Tommy Burns thing has kind of been blown out of proportion. I think that was a genuine thank you to the supporters for what they've done for him over the last couple of years. I think he knew he was away at that point as well. I'll say that. But I think it was a heartfelt, genuine thank you to the fans for the support. I think he was wary about making the cup final about anything other than the cup final and taking the focus away from the players and the achievement and all that. But I do think at full time he could have come out and said, right, you know, thanks for having them away. I don't think it would have ruined anybody's night at Celtic Park to hear that. I think, you know, initially folk might be like, oh, for fuck's sake, but at the end of the day they were there to celebrate, and I think they would have celebrated. Although I do think Ange has a genuine affection for the club, I do think he's probably got a genuine affection for the supporters. I think he felt a genuine connection to the supporters. I think he's got a genuine connection to the club now. No doubt he'll probably check for the Celtic score every week, and I think that's genuine. All that can be true, but at the same time he can still be kind of working his ticket and looking at his end career and thinking, well, I'm nowhere I want to be, you know, realistically. He might see himself at a higher level. He's leaving us for a higher level. He's not leaving us for a better club or a bigger club, but he's leaving us to go to a bigger league, to a better standard of player, to a bit, just, it's a whole better job that he's going to, unfortunately. There's nothing that we can do about that, realistically. So we're kind of prisoners, and we're in kind of fucking hame at the minute because we kind of compete. We're talking about Spurs, who've just opened a stadium worth about £1 billion, who've got a playing squad that, like, I think every single one of their players would get a new team every week, probably half their academy players as well. So, and what folk have not really realised is it's the exact same job he's got than 2 years ago. He's just got to go down there and galvanise a squad, galvanise the support behind one man, him, and they've done it at Celtic, so he'll be thinking, why can I not do it at Spurs? He doesn't need to win 5 out of 6 trophies there to be a hero. He only has to win one, whether it's the League Cup, the FA Cup or whatever. He doesn't need to win anything other than one trophy and he'll be revered down there forever. So it's, and he'll be getting paid about 100 grand a week. So of course it's ridiculously tempting. And I have no real issue with him taking it, other than I think it's a drop I finished at Celtic. I don't think we quite reached where we should have got to in Europe. I think the performances were there, and the performances, if they improved, which you would like to think they would do, granted East Ford season and another crack at the Champions League, then the results would improve with them. So I'm upset that way. But I know when Rodgers left, I was sick. When Ange left, I was rather just kind of sad. And I don't hold any grudge against him for going. I think long term he's got his eye on Man City or Liverpool. I think he obviously he's been in with the City group for years. It's just, and he's a Liverpool fan, it's the same risk that Gerrard took leaving Rangers to go to Villa. He knows that 2 or 3 years down there, if Ange can go to Spurs, finish top four for 3 years, he doesn't need to win anything. If he can finish top four and make them a good team, then there's every chance that the City group will just call his name when Pep leaves, or he can play the whole emotional Liverpool fan card when Liverpool maybe need a new manager. So it's a risk, and he's obviously backed himself. He's also 57. He might never get his chance again. He probably wants to be the first Australian to manage in the Premier League. He was the first Australian to manage a big club like Celtic. So he probably takes that sort of thing seriously. He'll see it as a kind of trailblazing for other coaches, maybe, I don't know. But is he a Celtic legend? I don't think so. I don't think he stayed long enough. I don't think he'll go down. But I think he'll go down in history as somebody that was needed at the time. And history will remember him very fondly. And I'd imagine if Spurs bag him in 6 months and he comes up to be a pundit in Sports Sound or something like that, I'd imagine he'll get a good reception after fans. I think a lot of folk are upset because it feels like somebody down in England's fluttered their eyelashes and he's went down running. And I think that's where the kind of bad feeling comes with, and I can understand that. But I think just looking at it objectively, it's unfortunately, darn, at this moment in time, we can't do too much about it. I would like to think Celtic did try and keep him here. And I think that's probably why Desmond was seen in and around Glasgow the last couple of weeks. But ultimately, you know, he's got his end career and his end family and all that to look out for, and Spurs have probably offered him something that he can't say no to. So, you know, I'd just rather it was done, all this dragging on. It's dragged on all day, can I? And I know it's only been a couple of days, but it seems like it's going to drag on, and just screw it on, don't we? And we can start looking forward to who's going to replace him, because we need to find a new Postecoglou. And it's no doom and gloom, because as I said earlier, before I started my mad monologue, the job is 10 times better than the one he's inherited. So realistically, we should be looking for a manager that's 10 times better than Ange Postecoglou.
No, I think you're spot on. I think this sort of era will be sort of defined by Ange's first sort of training session, when it was about we never stop, and like that's what's going to continue in the club. And like, as you say, like, just because Ange's leaving doesn't mean we need to sort of backtrack and start going backwards or stay where we are. Like, you can go out there and try and identify somebody that's going to improve what he's done. As you say, the foundations are there. We're in a much better place than when he came in. And it's going to be for one of the most attractive jobs in Europe at the moment. Like, we're guaranteed Champions League football next year. We're dominating the league. We've got a great squad with a lot of good young players in it. And we're pretty sound financially as well. There's going to be a healthy transfer budget there for whoever comes in. So I think as much as Ange has seen an opportunity for him, now that he's away, it's an opportunity for us to try and progress as a club. And like I say on Friday, we need to be an ambitious club, because we need these sort of debating. Everybody knows Celtic's a bigger club than Spurs, but Spurs are one of the richest clubs in England, and we just kind of sort of compete with the money there thrown at Ange and that. And I know people saying, oh, I should have been tied doing a contract. I don't necessarily think that would have changed it. And I think we might have got a bit more compensation, but I don't think overall that would have if Spurs had to pay 8 million instead of 5 million or whatever, I don't think that would have really stopped them if they wanted them. And we've got, we seem to have got better at accepting it. I know we sometimes are bitter with players when they want to move on, but we seem to have accepted that a bit more these days, that players are going to want to go and test themselves in better leagues. And I guess a sort of byproduct to that is that the manager, you want him to be ambitious as well, and obviously you want him to be ambitious with Celtic. Like, I remember we had, when Ange was appointed, we had that Australian writer Adrian Deans on, and he gave me a great insight to Ange, and he told me, he was like, Ange will really fancy doing something massive at Celtic, like in Europe. Obviously it didn't come to fruition, but that's what you sort of want for your managers. And if they are ambitious, if they get offered a job like Spurs, who for the last 15 years have generally been in about that top four, top six in England, and Champions League finals and whatnot, like, it's just like, I've nae ill will towards Ange. I know people have been sort of getting a magnifying glass and going out everything he said for the last 12-18 months, and he sort of warned everybody at the AGM as well. He says don't get attached to your favourite players and that, but that sort of probably applied to him as well, in terms of like, players move on, managers move on, we just need to get used to it, because usually at Celtic it ends the way Lennon did or Mowbray did, or you just sort of like, Stratton maybe feels that he stayed a season too long at Celtic, and like, it's, or the way Brendan left, like, it's sort of, you never really have that natural conclusion where everybody's happy. Usually people are either wanting the manager to go or the manager's just went. And I'm with you, Danny. I would have liked to have thanked Ange, knowing 100% that he was away, but I do think at the same time he was just sort of trying to protect the moment and allow the players who had worked so hard and all the staff that had worked so hard to enjoy it. And you're right as well, like, Ange never come out here pretending to be a Celtic fan and all that, but it's completely plausible that he's just a genuine guy with similar values to us. He was also like a Greek immigrant that went to Australia, and he's just, like, as you say, he probably did align with a lot of the values of the support and the club in general, and I don't think that's putting on an act. And even the Tommy Burns quote on Trophy Day, like, it was, I think he probably did know at that point that he was going to go as well, and the quote that he was in, I think that was sort of out of mind, that he was trying to tell Celtic fans, look, no matter what players and managers are there, like, you'll always be there. Like, this is our club. It's not Ange's club. It's not any player that walks through the doors club. It's the supporters in the stand and watching on the telly around the world's club. And we are the ones that will always be there. Celtic put a great video like the trebles that had went before Saturday, and then Ange as well. So I think I says it on our Twitter, like, this just shows, like, there was great times before Ange, there was great times during Ange, and undoubtedly with this club there will be great times ahead as well, and you've just got to enjoy the ride and hope that the board, they get it right. And I wish Ange well. Obviously, that I think he will be well remembered by the support. I think you're right, he's probably not been there long enough to become an out and out legend, but he will be very fondly remembered. And we could have went one or two ways when we appointed a manager after Neil Lennon, because it was a bomb site, and we could have just sort of spiralled into oblivion, and that mob across the city could be gone for two or three in a row now. And instead we had Ange, and we all got behind him after the sort of initial shockies appointment, and it was really support that got repaid in bundles by Ange, and it was a great connection. But that, you know what, that's football, and as you say, like, we're sort of trapped in Scotland, and that's always going to sort of hinder who we can keep at the club in terms of managers and players. But all we can do is move on. But Andy, how are you feeling about it? As I say, I think if you were to say this 2-3 weeks ago, it would have caught you by surprise, but I think the sort of last 7 or 10 days, it's been becoming more and more realistic in terms of it happening, and now it has sort of occurred.
I don't even know, man. Look, such much feelings, and I think everybody else, it's been back and forth. I think I went through every stage of grief from one day to day. But just funny, see, now you say, I was talking to one of my pals earlier on about it, and it's funny you talk about you'd have been surprised a few weeks ago, and I still think that's the case. I was just thinking back about things you said in the past and things that have happened the last few weeks, and now it all sort of pieces together and adds up, but it makes sense. Do you know what I mean? Nothing really came out after you seen him pictured with Desmond, and we were talking earlier on as well about the comments that he made after Juranovic left, and I think that you're seeing almost him in that, talking about himself. Well, he really could have sort of swapped it with Juranovic for me. He could have said him in that position. I think you can see all that, and but at the same time, I think that he's a right in the sense that we need to look at managers the same way we look at players. Like, we don't expect a guy like, I don't know, fucking Hatate or Jota or whatever to come here and stay here for 15 years and retire here and all the rest of it. I don't think we expect that, but I think there's also an element of, right, players have maybe got not a shelf life, but they've probably got a sort of maximum period of time. If they're still a developing player, that they'll be here before they move on to a sort of bigger league or a league which is more competitive, and they can try themselves in a sort of more difficult playing environment. And I think that applies to managers as well, and I think that's something we need to accept. I think what pisses us off is the way they go about it, and I really hope whoever it is that comes in, and I'm sure we'll go on about that at some stage as well, and talk about sort of people who have been linked and things. I hope that whoever it is comes in and listen, you want them to buy in and you want them to sort of go with the fans and the wee things that show appreciation and stuff like that. But I really hope they don't do this whole sort of playing up to it and almost making people believe that they're. I know it's because people listen, the fans want to believe that he's bought in, and I'm sure that he was, and I'm sure there's elements of truth as to what Danny was saying, but I'm just no naive enough to buy that he didn't know, and not just him, I think it applies across the world, that they don't know what they're doing when they're wheeling out quotes for guys like Tommy Burns just using it. Almost, I think whoever comes in, I just don't want to see it. Like, we know where you're at, and I'm not expecting them to be doing and going and no show that appreciation, but I think there's a way for them to go about it now, and I'd rather it just didn't happen, where they're almost trying to give you that false hope. Like, we know where we're at, and we're unfortunately shackled by the league that we're in and the fucking shite that we're surrounded by. So, it's more about accepting that, but it's hard because, I mean, he's obviously, there's not much American day. Like, you're not going to really make a dent in the Champions League. I was in the sort of, and obviously we win the league and we're automatically in, and we obviously thinking about it, I was as buzzing as anybody thinking, I can't wait to see him win another crack at it, because there was elements of, they got me excited watching like the games against Madrid and things like that, and I think that we could certainly have improved on it, and I thought the manager would have. I thought he would have been here to do that, and I was buzzing for it. Now it's always one of the things that will always be the question, but I think we just need to look at it a bit differently and more so treat managers the same way we treat sort of when we're signing a player who's coming in 21 and 22. We know we're going to be a stepping stone. I think we just need to accept that. Well, like, he's not a Celtic fan. I don't think he will do anything as such. But that's what Disney. I think it doesn't sit well with me. All this bash about sort of Tommy Burns and fans and everything else. Like, I get that a massive offers came in. Probably the biggest offer you get as Celtic manager, because I don't see a City or a United or anything like that taking the Celtic manager. So realistically, I think a traditional top 16 with Spurs is probably the biggest job you'll get for the Premier League to come up here at this point in time. And it's just so happened that it's fell, and obviously if they've went for the fire-up manager, that's not been able to come through. And they've turned their attention towards Ange, and that's, I get why he can't turn it down, but I think it's what hurts a lot of people is just the way he's went about it. I mean, don't get me wrong, there's elements where a lot of people who said if Rodgers had done it differently, they'd have been sent off with their best wishes, and I think we can all see that's a lot of shite, because some people don't really accept the reality of where we are. But it's just all the shite that comes along with it. And even when he came in, I think all the story about playing up to all this immigrant stuff, and that's how he buys in, and that's why he's here and wanting to leave long-lasting legacies. And the comment, I can't remember exactly what it was, but it was about you'll be surprised at how long I'm here and all that. Like, well, we're surprised because you're fucking leaving after 2 years. Do you know what I mean? It's stuff like that that pisses me off, as opposed to the way he's done it. But that's probably just because I'm hurting, like everybody else will be hurting. You know, for 2 days to celebrate a treble, and I agree, like, I think the perfect time would have been to say, and I said it obviously before the game, that I think you would have learnt a lot after it, when the fans were there at Parkhead, and he's obviously saying his piece. So even when he was on sort of telly and Martin O'Neill was talking to him after the game, I think one of the moments, not to sort of sign and seal it, but he could have made comments, or he could have said something, because this hasn't just happened overnight. Like, Spurs haven't just contacted him today and says, right, do you want to be a manager? This has obviously been going on for a while. I think we can all start to see that, and I was talking about piecing things together. But Desmond wasn't waiting for nothing. That was obviously our last ditch attempt to get him to stay, and whatever happened, it's no came through. But I think a lot of things just could have been done and said a bit better, from my opinion. And I've got no doubt he's going to go, and when he does his first press conference, it'll be all the same sort of usual sound bites that we're used to hearing. And same time, I don't have any ill will against him. I just think we should learn something from it in terms of going forward. And I hope that whoever it is that does take Job Disney go down the same route. We've seen it with Rodgers, and we've sort of seen it with Ange now. I don't need all that. I just want the best available manager to come in, just say, I'm here to do a job. I'm here to make Celtic the best possible team that they can be, and make sure the fans enjoy themselves and enjoy the football they see along the way. I don't need all the other shite, because it just makes it that bit worse when you're looking for something. We've got homecoming tours booked. We're going to play his ex-team in Japan and all that. And next thing you know, he's going to be in London when we're there. Do you know what I mean? It's stuff like that that really gets to me more so about the whole situation. It'd have been a lot easier to take if that wasn't the case. But there's no need to be sort of using all that. Like, his football itself would have endeared himself to the fans, the way he came in and sort of picked us up when we were a fucking shambles. Like, that would have done all that for him. He didn't have to get in the route of making wee sound bites and telling people what they wanted to hear. And as I say, you sort of use just throwing the name, like throwing Tommy Burns about, like, that didn't need to happen. And I hope that we learn something for that, and whoever it is that comes in doesn't go down that route either, because it just makes things like this that bit worse. And I can see why people get dead annoyed, and so I'm more emotions involved in it. I think he's all right as well. I think we're a more attractive proposition now than we were then, and I think it really comes to the board now. Like, what happens next season, if it's the worst that happens, then that falls on the board, and if it's the best that happens, that falls on the board as well. We should have learned from past mistakes. We should have learned from all the managers that have been here recently since that board have been in charge. We've seen what happened after Rodgers left, but we weren't prepared. Obviously, he'd done it at a worse time, but he still left us with an absolutely dominant squad. That was it. That's all we had. We never had a backroom in place. We never sort of had a system in place whereby if you take one out, it's the name you're replacing. And I think you'll find out everything you need to know now about whether or not we learned anything for that when Ange goes, because it's really down to what the board do next. And I fucking hope and pray that they get it right. And this is something they've been thinking about and working on. But again, we've seen this before. We know what they're like. And it wouldn't surprise you if they go and do something fucking stupid. So I think we've just got to move on and, as I say, go and get the best available manager and go and back them and try to let somebody new come in and make new memories and make new legends at the team. So that's where I'm at. And as I say, I'll probably move on to another stage of grief and be calling them all the bastards in about 10 minutes, but I'm sure you can come back to me then.
No, definitely. I know we're going on about 40 minutes now, so we'll just come round to who we want to be appointed. Danny, I'll
I'll come to you first, Andy's obviously, as he says, going through the stages of grief there and wants us to appoint a robot with no personality that doesn't get attached to Celtic. Who would be your next Celtic manager if you could choose one from the many names that have been touted today, like Sir Brendan Rodgers, Jesse Marsh, Davy Moyes, even guys like John Kennedy?
I was listening to what you were saying there. I thought Andy talked a lot of sense, kind of came for the opposite view that I did, but I get a lot of what Andy's saying. But we do need a manager with personality. You need somebody like Ange that's got a massive personality with gravitas that can come in and galvanise everybody. And we're in such a great position at the minute. But the fans need somebody to get behind. I think that's obvious. I mean, you need a figurehead at the club, whether it's, you know, Rodgers or Ange, or I mean even Lennon, to be fair to him as well, had a lot of support at times. But it's kind of a connection that you need to have to be successful. And all that, you know, like the second time around, Lennon never really had it, because he came out and called the support a spoiled brats before he got the job. But if you look at like Anil, and I mean, Strachan never had a great connection with the fans, but I think enough fans were on side of him. But like, you look at Mowbray, never really had a connection. Was talking about fucking the 90s half the time, his team were out and taking it in the chin and all that. And you need somebody with that personality. I mean, but who do I want? I don't know. I've been convinced by people on Twitter that I want Brendan Rodgers to come back. I think purely because he built a team that won every week when they played in Scotland, and he won an undefeated treble. He won, you know, 7 out of 7 trophies that he was here for, but he would have went on and clinched the treble before he left. As I said earlier, I'm leaving made me sick, but I've come round to it by now. I mean, what happened to Celtic though the next couple of years kind of proved that Rodgers maybe had a point all along, although he definitely left far too early. In the worst possible moment, and he found out that he pushed the move through. If Leicester, when they were happy for him to stay until the end of the season, was a wee bit sickening as well, but that was it. This is now. And you just know Rodgers will bring class again. He'll bring up an operation that will produce results. I mean, he completely transformed the whole football operation the last time he was up, and I know, it wasn't great. I mean, his recruitment wasn't very good. And most of these success stories, Scott Sinclair aside, were him inheriting players that were decent and turning them into invincibles. But you bring him in now and look at the squad he'd have to work with now. Just incredible. And if he could get that odd gem like a Sinclair that take him up and stuff, then you'd be on to a winner. Maybe he can tempt a couple of boys for Leicester, not to play in the Championship and come up and play in the Champions League instead. You never know. But I don't think it will be Rodgers. I'd be surprised. I know a lot of rumours are kicking about that it's him, and I know for a fact he's still got a house in Glasgow, and he's told folk on many occasions that in the last couple of years that he missed the feeling of managing Celtic. And I don't think he was at the semi-final in April was an accident either, but I don't know. I just can't see it. With the other names he mentioned, I would take Davy Moyes purely because for about 10 years I've been convinced that Moyes will manage Celtic one day, so why not now? Also, me and you can dig out an episode of a previous podcast that we've done and prove that we'll are talking in the future. Jesse Marsh, I don't know. I really liked the idea of him when he was at Salzburg, because his team won the league every year, and the team played really good football in the Champions League, and they were really good when, I know it was your other guy, Marco Rosa, who was there when we played them in Europe, but by all accounts that was Marsh's good work. Did Marsh come in after him? I can't remember, but I was intrigued with Jesse Marsh, and then I don't think it worked out for him in Germany, did it? And then he went to Leeds, and I know Leeds get relegated. I think he might have kept them up, actually. if he'd have stayed there, because he did seem to get off decent tune out of them, but I don't know if he's a bit of a weirdo one though. But again, somebody was telling us last night Celtic sponsored him to do his UEFA badges years ago, and his daughter stays in Edinburgh, so I mean, you never know. And if he could get, it's obvious that he knows what he's talking about when it comes to football. It just seems to me another one that it seems to be me another, it'll be another soundbite merchant going by what he said at Leeds and stuff. And you know, if Celtic fans are like, he'll probably be around a couple of years. I'm just going to say it. I think John Kennedy's earned a crack at it. I've been saying it for the last week. I think John Kennedy's earned a crack at the job. I don't think the timing's right. I don't think when we can go straight into the Champions League and we've got a great playing squad, and it would seem easy just to get to the assistant, but I do think Kennedy's earned a crack at it. I just don't think the time's right. I think the job is much better than previous, as I've said before, and the board should be marketing that and should be going out to basically who won the Champions League in front of everybody and saying, look, you've got six chances to prove what a good manager you are in front of the whole world. Because whether, you know, I know the results have not been great, but when Celtic are at home in the Champions League, it's fucking box office. Everybody, it became cliche the way folk go on about it now, but you see on Twitter and that, the Americans and Sky and BT, you know, they fucking lap it up when Celtic are at home in Europe. And we need to showcase that to, I mean, somebody like Graham Potter, for example. He would probably be my pick. I know I've went a long way around, but I think if you told me Potter wanted it, then I would love Potter. Potter's, the only thing with Potter is it's very similar to Rodgers. He got his big break in England that didn't work out, and he comes up here to repair his reputation. So I think a lot of maybe people can caught up in that. It might not be as pretty the second time round, that kind of merry-go-round, but I don't think Potter's teams at Brighton played great football, and I thought he was very unlucky at Chelsea. Them signing fucking half a team in January that he never asked for probably put the death nail in his career there, but it's just, does he fancy, he might think he can walk into a job in England. I think he was maybe going to go to Leicester until they get relegated. So does he wait? Does he go to Paris? Does he wait about? Fuck knows. If you could attract him, I think it would be a good move. But I just think, if they were to turn around and get Kennedy the more, I wouldn't be angry. I'd be a bit meh. And I would maybe wonder if they've looked hard enough. But can anybody really begrudge Kennedy a go at it? I mean, he's been the assistant for 7 years. He's clearly highly thought of at the club. And with Fed football, I've heard over the years, and even recently, the Hearts were sniffing him, Hibs wanted him a couple of years ago, Dundee United wanted him at the start when they let go of Jack Ross. And he seems to keep knocking his back, is it because he thinks he's going to go to Celtic? I mean, time this goes out, he'll probably be fucking at the Spurs with Ange, because it seems like he's got to go there, but I just wonder if it's his time. But I think me and Andy were talking about it before you hit record, Dan. It's not really, the time is not really right for Kennedy, but if they want to give him it, I wouldn't be, I don't know, I mean, I'd be interested to hear what you think, but if they were Kennedy was to be the next Celtic manager, I wouldn't be gutted to put it away.
No, you've spoke quite a lot about the candidates there. I think Rodgers, I think it's unlikely as well, but I think in terms of having somebody that knows the club, who's as confident in his own ability, like, I think Rodgers is the type of manager that could maybe have this squad forget about Ange in a few weeks, because he'll come in and tell them, I'll have you in the Champions League quarterfinal this year. Like, don't worry, while he's taking Spurs to Luton, you'll be off to the San Siro or the Allianz Arena or Old Trafford. Like, just to, I think a lot of the infrastructure at Lennox Town was probably stuff that Rodgers implemented as well. So I know we were on their podcast back when he left us, and we sort of came a few months after that, so you probably didn't hear our thoughts at the time on Rodgers, which might be for the best. I don't think we'd be invited back to fan media events if you had. But no, I don't know. I can't see it happening now. I'm a massive Kennedy fan, and I think I'm with you. If they gave him it, I'm no jumping from the heavens, but I just think he has earned a crack. He's worked under great Celtic managers and also Neil Lennon, but nah, I think it might be his time, and then we could just go left field again, and that would be interesting as well. But Andy, who are you thinking before we wrap up?
Do you know, again, this is, I don't know. Don't get me wrong, we were talking about obviously Kennedy earlier. I do also agree that you've made the point that, like, if not now, then when is it the time to give him his crack at it? And, like, it's, I don't know. I think the next appointment is massive, and there would be an element of sort of continuity there. And, but this again, like, who then becomes number two? And I don't know. And I think there will come a time, or there should come a time, where he deserves his shot because he's been there under for multiple previous managers now. If he stays in sort of rejection down south, you think there would be an element of that there. But I don't know. I've sort of toed and froed a wee bit in terms of managers. I think Potter I would be happy with. I think he's, people keep referencing the job done at Chelsea, but Chelsea are a fucking mess, a total, complete and utter mess. He was probably hard done by there. The job done at Brighton was brilliant. He's good football. The Rodgers one initially, I was a bit like, oh, fuck that, but you know he would come, and I think he's a spot on again in terms of, he's going to improve the players that are already there and that stay there. His recruitment wasn't great to an extent, but I would have every confidence that, just having a look at obviously the list of managers that were there when you were sort of talking, and like, if Rodgers comes in, there's just no doubt in my mind that he goes and starts fucking lording out of the Huns again and just battering them. Because he's a fucking fantastic football manager. Let's all be open and honest here. I don't know what ended sour at Leicester, but even the job he done down there, fucking won an FA Cup with them. Had them, they were fifth in the league once or twice, and all that. He'd done a really, really good job, and they didn't spend money. Like, ultimately, if you go and look at their transfer business, that's why they went down. They went down because their team ended up a fucking mess, and they didn't spend any money on it. But again, if he came back, he would have the confidence that he would go and keep his winning. But I suppose the alternative to that is Europe, wasn't he great? And I think we all want to improve in Europe. I think that's really got to be the next sort of target. You look to improve and sort of move on every day, every year, sorry. And I think, is there maybe a bit of doubt about that with Rodgers? Or is that maybe me being a bit harsh? I don't know. But I think the thing is with Ange, and I mentioned it earlier, that you had so much confidence because of how we went about and played. Like, I know, obviously, it didn't end great this year in terms of points in the board, but there was so much elements of the play. And I don't really keep coming back to it, but the way we played against Real Madrid, really, it just made me excited for thinking about what could he do if we had another season with Mer backing, with that experience under the players, that, well, what could he do if given Mer support? So I was between the two. I wouldn't mind the Bodo manager, Knutson. I think there's an element of there that we go a bit left field again. Obviously, he's been in Europe before, but the job he's done with him's incredible. I just really don't want it to be somebody fucking stupid. I don't know, Neil Lennon or fucking, like, people floating about the idea of, like, Martin O'Neill's and even Scott Brown. Like, I don't want any of them. I want to go with somebody. If it's Rodgers, so be it. I think there'll be a lot of people pissed off, but I think winning talks very quickly, and I think he would do that. But I'd also be behind either Potter or Knutson. But if we do stay with Kennedy, then he's got my full backing, because I do agree. I think he's earned his shot at it.
Can I just pop in there, Andy? See the Bodo manager, right? No doubt he's clearly capable, but you know, wary that he's been linked with every job that's come up in the last three, four years, not taking any.
Did they not note back the Aberdeen job? I was thinking about this earlier.
He's actually speaking to Ajax. I know, I was reading about Melly. He's actually speaking to Ajax.
I'm sure he noted back there. The Aberdeen job.
They did. They offered him it before Goodwin.
I mean, I think That says a lot about, I mean, to be fair with Aberdeen, it's probably one of the only times a team for Scotland's no went and just hired one of the usual guys after the merry-go-round. But I don't know. I think they fucking battered us. Let's all be open and honest about it here. Like, they absolutely battered us. And it's weird. I've looked, obviously, once after that game and since then, also, when you see their name pop up, because they played really good football that day. And I remember a few of the players obviously moved on. So Backins at Roma now, who's a boy in the middle of the park, that Patrick Berg. But it's funny, there was a big thing because he moved away to France and he was poor and then he came back. And there's not a fucking theory, can you call it that? But there's a lot of talk about a lot of their players. It's because they were so good as a unit, but when they went away individually, they've been pretty poor. And I mean, so Backins not been great at Roma either. Berg obviously when we come back, and I think there is another couple of players who were similar, and it was just an interesting read when I was going through it. So I don't know, but he's obviously fucking, I mean, they came out of nowhere. You've seen the state their stadium was in. I'm sure they had a wee look earlier on. I know they'll sit and tap at a league again. They've done impressive in Europe. As I say, they battered us and they're there sort of year on year, come to a league that's sort of worse than ours, if you like. And punching above their weight, I'm sure I've seen before as well. Their wage budget's smaller than like Aberdeen, Hibs, Hearts. So obviously he's a manager that showed they can work within sort of certain constraints and stuff like that. But he's sort of put his name out there. Ajax have obviously their team who's got a model. We've spoken about them before when we were sort of trying to get their manager in beforehand. How they, it seems to be, although they might have a poor season here and there, they've got a model and everything sort of built when the manager goes to get somebody of the same ilk that comes in again. So I think if they're looking at them, that obviously tells you a lot that they think he can sort of come and contribute to them. But they've had anything for me. I want to see something that sort of inspires me and Disney fucking put the fear of God into me. I said to you earlier, David Moyes, that just puts the fear of God into me because I think the football would bore me to death. Although if he wins a European trophy with West Ham, I really don't know why the fuck he would leave to come to Celtic. But any of that, like, I've seen O'Neill floating about, love Martin O'Neill, but just don't get back there. Lennon, I'm not even going to entertain it. Roy Keane, all that sort of malarkey, I just don't want involved with it because it would fucking depress me at that point. I just want to see something with a bit of ambition, and then when they are coming, they're backed and they can sort of get moving in the transfer market, because I said this, we're not going to be looking in the same markets that we did under Ange. I think I'd be surprised if we're going to buy anybody else for the J-League now that he's away. So whoever it is, hopefully they can inspire us and sort of keep us moving, because really Europe's going to be the target now that we look to build on and improve our performances there. So hopefully whoever it is can do that.
Aye, definitely. Obviously it'll be an interesting week. Who knows, Celtic might act quickly and get it done. If no, we'll be back to discuss it at length, I'm sure, with a full squad. As I said, we'll also have our end of season review and we'll also look back at our predictions as well. But if you've made it this far, I know it's a long episode today, so thanks for listening and we will speak to you at some point in the near future. Cheers.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
It's the question that's on everyone's mind. How do you live a good life? Is it about work, health, or relationships? What about happiness, meaning, and money? What really matters? And how can you dramatically improve all of these things? These are the questions we explore every week on the top-ranked podcast, Good Life Project, hosted by award-winning author and perpetual seeker, Jonathan Fields, which also happens to be me. Every week, I sit down with world-renowned researchers, experts, and scions of art and industry on the Good Life Project podcast. This week, in fact, we're sharing a fantastic conversation with the author, Elizabeth Gilbert, about a single practice that changed her life. Listen to the Good Life Project podcast wherever you get your podcasts. Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.